It reminds you of the flood of 94.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She does. So true. Katrina, worse than Katrina, mm-hmm. they say.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is that I was there a week before, just that week before the storm. I was there in Rock Mount. I was in Aiken. I was in Augusta, that whole path, just the week before.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
it was.
I was thankful to wake up to see that some of these trees out here running on top of the house. Matter of fact, we had rain, and that was about it.
I know, God. Yes, thank God it took that easterly turn. You know, we were under hurricane watch, a warning. We were under hurricane warning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God it did take that turn.
But you're right, Deacon Connor. We are called to help those that have been affected by the storm and in the ways in which we can, and getting resources in the hands that are able to reach those that is affected. You are so right bringing us our attention to that.
Shakita Maxwell, thank you.
Good evening.
I saw your pictures on Facebook. You went to the football game this weekend, didn't you?
Yes, sir. It was a good old Tuskegee win, but it was our HBCU love.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
Yeah, my daughters were there. Two of them. I haven't heard the percolator yet. We're going to get started in about another minute or so. Oh, Pastor Jordan Williams, are you on?
Yes, sir, I am here.
All right.
Hi, Jordan. This is Carolyn
Hello.
Clark.
Hey, Sister Clark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Happy anniversary. I didn't make it, but happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. You know, there's always next year.
Well, no comment.
One day at a time. One day at a time.
Good evening, Pastor Jordan. How are you?
So far, so good. Both eyes are still open, so I'm alive and well.
All right.
Well,
I'm ready for work tonight.
Yeah, both eyes still open. Alive and well, but
ready for work.
I believe that counts. Because I've seen some people lay with both eyes open and couldn't say a word. So
you know, in my 5 years of congregation for Cal, I saw it too. So you know, that's what I had to say. I'm still alive too.
Thankful to have you on the line.
Amen.
And for those that have not registered, the last day to register, I think, is tomorrow. But I know that most of you all have registered.
Even if you are registered, always make sure to check your status to make sure that you're, you know, that it's
still
shows. Well,
you're probably right. You need to recheck. And that's probably...
You know, you got a link for that.
The last time
I walked
down there, it took me about 10 years to walk down there, and I was about to tell AMLAS when I got to the door. But they really have it too far down the court for a senior citizen. And when I was out there, I didn't even check mine. I was taking somebody else.
Well, all right, y'all. Good evening. Today is October 6th, 2024, and we are ready for our Walk in the Word this evening. We have something special planned. Welcome to the Three Keys and the E, preaching, prayer, and praise, and equipping, and teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19-24. So, on the behalf of Captain Place, Beyond the Law, Gates of Prayer, Out of the Box Ministries, Enlightenment Ministries, and Thursday Walk in the Scripture by Minister Mayor Whitfield, we welcome you all to the call this evening. I haven't heard the percolator on the line, so we will ask that Miss Sister Ruby Sunshine Dudley would lead us in prayer. And I haven't heard Sister Susan, so we'll pick up a song after that. And then Pastor Jordan will come with our Lord's Supper. We are ready.
Lord God, Father, Lord, we come to be this same thank you. Lord, we're so grateful that you woke us up this morning, Lord. But, Lord, you didn't stop right there. You brought us all the way through this day down to this present hour. And we're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord. Lord God, we come right now in the name of God, asking that you forgive us for all our sins, God. We ask that you be with us, guide us every step of the way, Lord, because we don't know which way to go. We're leaning and depending on you, Lord, to see us through. We come right now. Name of Jesus, lifting up the sick, the bereavement everywhere, Lord God. We come right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, lifting up our pastors, Lord God. We lift up Minister Singleton, Apostle, Lord God. We lift up Pastor Kiefer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we're so grateful that Pastor Williams come on and share with us this evening. And we thank you for him, Lord, for his willingness to be a part of us this evening, to teach us your word, Lord God. We come lifting up Lord God. We come lifting up Mother Wembley, Uncle John, Lord God. We thank you for them. We thank you for them leading and guiding us, Lord, and teaching us the way we should go. Lord, I'm so grateful for Deacon Connor, Lord God, who comes on week after week to share with
us.
Direct this line the way it should go. Thank you, Lord. Lord, people don't have to do anything, but when they do something, I just thank you. And I want to thank you, God, for touching their hearts, Lord God. I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you need on this line, no matter what they're going through, touch them, Lord God, from the top of their head to their feet, God. Lord God, have your way in their lives, in our life, Lord God. Lord God, help us to be better people, Lord God. Help us to be better servants, better witnesses, Lord God.
Yes.
Because of what you've done and what you're going to do. We're just going to give you glory in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, man, I heard someone ring in. Is Sister's got on yet? All right. We have in Jesus everything to God in prayer. We bear all because not care. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, because we do not care.
We understand that after Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, that when the first century church came together, they didn't always come with the right motive of heart and mind. So the Apostle Paul came and he told them that before you partake of this bread and of this wine, make sure that you come purging all those things that can distract you from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we partake in this Holy Communion, I want us each to take about 5 seconds to just have a silent moment with God, to be able to just breathe for a moment and just be able to focus all of our energy on God. Let us take that moment right now. Amen.
Amen.
First we take the bread. As Christ said, that this is a representation of his body. Take and eat. Then next we take the wine, which is a representation of Christ's shed blood for the renewed covenant of humanity and God. Take and drink. And with that, we simply say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Is Sister Susie on yet? Amen, amen, amen. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of storm, my Lord. He's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Lord, father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know, Lord, if thou withdraw thyself from me. Oh, where shall I go, my Lord? He's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Lord, amazing grace, sweet the sound that has saved a wretch like me. Lord, I once was lost, but now I'm fine. I was blind, but now I see my Lord, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of the storm.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Williams.
Amen. It is a honor and a privilege to be back with you all again, to share the word and just to take the time to be with y'all. It's always good to hear voices from my home church, from people who knew me before I knew me. And so it's always good to hear y'all's voices and to know that y'all are at least doing as well as enough to be able to be here and worship in this way. So I'm excited to be with you all. I want to make sure to know I've been given instructions to, you know, to give a short word, so I will happily give a short one. But let us all go to the book of Acts. We'll be going to Acts chapter 12. We'll be looking at two areas in Acts chapter 12. The first one is in the beginning of the chapter, which is verses 1 through 5. I'll give everyone a chance to get there real quick. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. All right. And I'll be reading from the my favorite, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Amen. And it reads, About that time, King Herod cruelly attacked some who belonged to the church, and he killed James, John's brother, with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter, too, during the days of unleavened bread. After the arrest, he put him in prison and assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church. Now, I want us to go down a little bit further, down to verses 14 through 16. I give everybody a chance to kind of locate that. Or, you know, some of us scroll, some of us flip, some of us glide on down with the finger. So, you know, I'm giving y'all a second all to find it, and then we'll read that part next. And it reads, she recognized Peter's voice, and because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gateway. You're crazy, they told her, but she kept insisting that it was true. Then they said, it's his angel. Peter, however, kept knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astounded. Let us pray. Most gracious and holy Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for allowing us to come together to talk about your word, to think about your word, to be about your word. God, we ask that you continue to watch over us in this time. We ask, God, that you continue to be all that we know you to be and more. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to title this something very simple, but something that I think we all should think about. The title of this particular message will be, What Are We Praying For? What are we praying for?
All right.
I think the particular issue I have with this text is something that I see happen in the lives of believers, both in that day and in this day. That we see what happened in the story is that Peter was arrested, James was killed, and the church was in prayer. The issue came that we know the fullness of the story, that as the people prayed, an angel came and delivered Peter out of the prison. And after doing that, Peter went to the church because that was his safe place. The issue arose that Peter had to keep knocking on the door and even announced who he was. And in excitement, a child went and said to the people, to the church, your prayers have been answered. Peter is at the door. But an issue arose that they didn't believe what the girl was saying. And he still kept knocking, and they tried to find every manner of understanding rather than believing that what they prayed for had been answered. I have an issue, church, because I feel like we've come to a point that a lot of the things we do for church have become religious more than they've become real.
Right.
I have an issue because we do it because we're supposed to, not because we know that there are results in what we do. And it makes me ask the question, what are you praying for? What are we praying for? Do we pray because, again, someone told us to? Or do we pray because we believe there's power in what we do? Because it's a scary thing that sometimes we can say, Lord, do it, and he does it, and we still have a shocked face. I remember in the earlier part of my pastorate, I had a young lady by the name of Donna who had had a stroke on Monday, was barely moving by Wednesday, and they had called me in to pray for her. And they were the medical professionals were already saying that, yeah, we're looking at end-of-life care. We're looking at where she's going to be stationed and put next. But one of my elders called me and said, Pastor, there's nothing that they see possible to do. But can you just go up and pray for her? I don't know this woman. As my mom was saying, I don't know her from a can of paint. But I took the truth that I believed that was in prayer. And I went up to a patient who, as I looked at her, she could only groan, but she couldn't speak. And she couldn't move, and she couldn't say anything. She could just look at you, slightly lift a hand, and then groan a little bit more. And as her niece stood there and her sister stood there and her sister's husband stood there, I told them all, let's go into prayer. And I simply said, Lord, there's power in your hands. The medical professionals have done all they can, and we've done all that we can. So now we lift Sister Donna up to you, and we pray in Jesus' name that your will be done. Now, I've seen God do something in days. I've seen him do it in months. But this was the first time I saw him do it in less than 24 hours because on the next day when my elder, Stephen, had went back to the hospital, he saw Donna standing, walking, and going to the bathroom herself.
Amen.
And I was in my own foolishness astonished by what was told because when you said when you have a stroke and you're found the next day, 24 hours later, the amount of damage that should be on the brain is irreversible and has many lasting issues that come with that type of situation. But somehow this lady still came the next day standing, walking, and talking. And then I took a leap of faith to go see her the following week, and she said, I remember when you came to pray for me. And she was talking as if she had not had a stroke. And I'm just sitting here staring at her like, Lord, have mercy. Because I reached for God. And God just seemed to answer. And so I can't ask this question without first realizing my own moments of doing something in religious repetition. But I had to believe somewhere in my heart that God could do it for her, just as he had done for others before. Church, I want to challenge us in this simple way to say, when we pray, do we pray because we believe it's going to happen, or are we just trying to do something because someone asked us to? Are we doing it with the heart and the spirit truly yearning for God to do something in this situation, or is this just something else on the checklist that we're supposed to be doing? Church, I have to ask the question because I have to ask each of us individually, what is your and my prayer life like? Has it become a place that I'm just doing it because my grandmama told me to? Or have I created a space where the Spirit abides in my home and an atmosphere changes and things can happen and people are changed and I am changed and things are changed? Has it become a place of true peace? Or is it a hollow place where I hear nothing? Because it's interesting that the church in the text, they gathered together earnestly in prayer, but did not truly believe what they were praying for. Is it the possibility that we've gotten stuck in doing what was natural but not believing in the supernatural? Is it the possibility that we need to do the thing that I love to say every time I get a chance, have a self-examination of the trueness of our relationship with God? Because it doesn't mean that we're not safe. This just may mean that we're dealing with burnout. This just may mean that we're dealing with distraction. This just may mean that we need a bit of a tune-up, a spiritual reawakening in the church again, so that we don't just think it's going to happen. We have faith to believe it will happen. And that we're no longer astounded by the things of God, but when it happens, we worship God in spirit and in truth because we understood that we prayed with meaning behind it. Because, see, I love the story because we've always preached about Peter and the angel and the doors opening, but can we talk about the church? Because when we gather in our sacred spaces, are we doing it again out of religious repetition, or do we see purpose in the things that we do? Do we see power in the things that we do? Do we come to be rejuvenated, to be transformed, to be revived, or am I just coming because I'm a Christian and so I'm supposed to be here? Has the relationship that's supposed to be personal become something that's just almost problematic? Because
all
there's
right.
no joy
all
in
right.
it. There's no life in it. There's no hope
all
in
right.
it. There's just routine in it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why we see generation after generation either leave, barely stay, barely involved, barely care, or barely have a spiritual life to care about, because we don't know why we're doing it anymore. And the scary part is that that goes from the pulpit all the way to the back of the pew, that we've come into this house and gathered in his name to repeat the same things we just said last Sunday. No. We didn't come to gather in his name and worship him. We came because we were supposed to come. We don't come with expectation. We don't come with fire. Instead, we just come because, well, my mama told me I'm supposed to be in church today. And the issue arises that we begin to make hollow spaces with hollow people in hollow places. But I believe that God is saying this to us, that he still has power in his church, and that before we let the light go out, we have to go back to that power again, that we need to pray, asking God to fill us again with the hope and the justice and the grace and the mercy that says, Lord, show me how to believe in your power again. So that I don't move in a way that says, well, you might do it, but I instead say, Lord, have your will in this place. And I believe that our lives will be better, that our lives will have more hope in it, because we move now beyond repetition and religion to relationship again. And one thing about a relationship is a living thing. It's a growing thing. It's a developing thing. And I believe if we're not careful, we'll be trying to ponder to dead relationships instead of having a living one. Church, is your relationship a living one right now? Is your worship a living worship? Is your prayer life a living prayer life? Is your service a living service? And I don't mean the service on Sunday morning. I mean the heart that you serve with. Is it still alive? Do you know why you do what you do? Or has it just become repetitious? Yeah. I want to give y'all a simple story. When I was a little boy, which wasn't that long ago, but still when I was a little boy, Mr. Singleton may remember this one, that the first time I ever got to serve was when I was probably about 11 or 12. We had these things on spring break week, when we would come to the church and we would make meals and we would go down to the rescue mission and we would serve the homeless people the meals. Mm-hmm. And we would sit down with them. We would dine with them. We would refill their cups with lemonade. We would take the trays. We would wash them. And we'd say goodbye to them. We'd get back on our van and we'd go on home. And I remember the first time Minister Singleton asked me, she said, well, how was that for you? And I said, it was great. And I can't wait to go back again. Even 18 Amen. Years later, I get on fire for the opportunity to serve. Church, at what point in this relationship with God do you get on fire for something a part of his life?
All right.
At what point of this relationship with God sets you aflame that you thought that you had lost, but it comes back again? What is that portion for you? And then the thing that we have to be honest about is that some of us have lost that fire. But we serve a God that as long as I got breath, I can get it back again. Understand, you may have been down for a while, but I promise you, you're not out. But there's still an ember that can be reignited again, that can have your heart on fire for God again.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is do like Peter did and just reach out for God.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Lord, have mercy on me. So we can break this cycle of just going to church to go to church. But we do what they always taught me. You come with expectation on your lips.
Yes.
You come with expectation in your heart. You don't just come, but you come ready for worship. You come ready to experience God. Church, do we walk like we want to experience God? Or do we just walk saying, well, he may do something today, and he may not do anything today? But I feel that in Acts 12, it gives us the greatest echo of what happens when we start to become repetitious, but we forget about relationship. That we come together earnestly wanting something to happen, but we have an issue when it does. Because the biggest issue I got with this is that a child came to the adult, seeing what they're praying about, hearing the answer, and the adults couldn't believe it.
Yes.
Isn't it the possibility, church, that the young people are seeing the efforts of the church, are
mm-hmm.
seeing the results, but we kill it because we've lost the hope for it? Isn't it the possibility that they see what our prayer lives can do? They see what our worship can do. But when
mm-hmm.
we exalt the situation, we don't believe it anymore.
Mm.
I fear in my heart that we'll become a people who pray for something, and when the next generation sees it, we don't believe it because they said it and we didn't see it first.
Mm-hmm.
Can we not be so prideful as people that we can't see God even when he's speaking through younger people? But I love what Peter did. No matter who was back there arguing, he just kept on knocking. It was as if he knew that if I stop knocking, the enemy's going to win. Peter is still knocking at that door for many of us, saying that God has already answered the prayer, that God has already delivered me, that God has already set me free. All you have to do is open the door to see the magnificent works of God. I don't know what that door is. I don't know what that challenge is. I don't know what that prayer is, but I know that each and every one of us have one. I know that each and every one of us at some point in this relationship with Christ has earnestly come before him with an issue that we didn't know if he was going to solve. But I tell you on this day, the answer is closer than you think.
Mm-hmm.
That the release is closer than you think.
All right.
Yes.
That God's promise to you is closer than you think. That his mercy in a frustrating situation is closer than you think. That the relief of every stressor is so much closer than you think. All you have to do is go to the door.
Yes.
All you have to do is go to the door.
Go to the door.
Because there's something behind that door that you need to bring that faith back alive again.
Hallelujah.
There's something behind that door that says, Lord, you did it once, and I believe you can do it again.
Ooh, hallelujah.
For whoever the believer is, I want you to know that Peter's still knocking, that the answer is still there, that God has already answered the prayer, that God has already answered the issue, that God has already fixed the problem, that God has already done his part. But you have to answer the door.
Yeah,
right.
It's time out for laying down and expecting him to just open everything up. There's a part in this relationship that we have to take an action into.
Yeah, action.
So have we become people that sit down on our face instead of just moving as God tells us to move?
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why we see nothing. Why? Because Peter's still knocking at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you are, but please answer that door in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Because that door has so much for you that even you yourself can't see right now because we're so stuck in repetition.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is simply this, and I believe it wholeheartedly, that we as a church individually and corporately have to find the fire for God again. No matter your age, no matter the ministry that you're called to, no matter how long you've been doing that ministry, find the fire for it again. Find the place that God comes alive in you again. So that's truly something that makes life worth living. When we become a people who have moments that we're so on fire that we can't be hidden, that we're like what it says in Matthew, you're a light on a hill that can't nothing be put over it to hide it. Be that light again, because I promise you this much, someone in your family needs to see that light. Someone in your friend group needs to see that light. Someone walking down the road needs to see the light that you have in your life. But until you open that door, we're still sitting there. We're still waiting for something to happen. But the answer is closer than we think. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift everyone up in this call to you today, asking, God, that we don't just become repeaters of doing the same thing over and over again without believing that something can happen when we do it. God, show us how to have fire for you again. Show us how when we gather together that we don't do it just because we're supposed to, but we do it because we know you can change a situation. Show us, God, how to come with expectation to your house, how to come before your presence with thanksgiving and singing, because we know that when we get in the presence of God, that something happens. Show us how to set our own homes, our own cars on fire filled with you. Show us how to have what some people call that war room, that closet, that hidden place that when all this is going wrong, we can get there and get to you. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing in the life of every believer on this call. For, Lord, there is still ministry in the hearts and the mind of every believer that is here today. Show us again how to answer that door so that our faith can be renewed and our passion can be on fire. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let every heart say amen.
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 Amen. What a word.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jordan. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I said it once, and I say it again. I wish I could be in your classroom as you teach the word of God. I don't mind. That's good teaching. That's good teaching. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Comments?
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much for that word tonight. As I was here listening and receiving the word, I want you to know that it did minister to me in a special way. I had some thoughts about prayer today, had some thoughts about believing today. I had some thoughts about receiving from God today and trusting him. So you asked the question, what are we praying for? And if we're praying and not believing, are we expecting to receive what God can and will do? Your testimony about the lady in hospital. If someone is sick, we pray for them in earnesty, believing that they would be healed. You ask for God's will to be done in your prayer. It's God's will that we would be whole and we would be saved. So we must have the faith to believe God.
Come on.
That the same God that speaks to us speaks to the young people. Thought about Jesus saying, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, his praise is perfected. I believe that we have to be willing to receive whatever blessing God has through whatever vessel he uses. And I thank God for you as a pastor being able to share and minister to us out of the word of God in the way that you did. And like I said, for an old minister, I need to hear something like this tonight. Because we get toward the end of our journey thinking that we can't do or be effective in what we're doing. And if we are called, there's no such thing as retirement in God's kingdom. We don't retire, we continue to press. So that's why Deacon Connor, those that's on this line, we are moving forward. We probably need to hear that. I know I needed to hear it so that I can continue forward in what God has for me to do. And just as Peter was set free, and when Rhoda came to the door, she was excited. So when God answers, sometimes we get excited and forget to let the blessing in. We're so excited, we forget to let it in. And so she ran and told them they didn't believe her, even to the point that they said it must have been his angel. Must have been some other epiphany. It couldn't have been the real deal. But we got to trust God for the real deal, for the blessing that he has. So I want to get, it encouraged me that when to get back to a level of when I'm praying and believing, when I'm praying for the sick, I'm praying for deliverance, I'm praying for healing, I'm praying for whatever it may be, that I'm trusting God that he will answer. And knowing that even in the midst of the suffering, his grace is sufficient. Yes, his grace is sufficient. So we thank you, brother. I don't want to take time. I know there's others that have comments tonight. I just want to thank you. I want to pray that God continues to bless you in your ministry. I hear the people on the line who know you, and they know that you're doing a mighty work for the Lord. We pray that God's blessing and his grace will be upon you forever as you continue to move forward in your ministry. May he continue to anoint you with the power that God has placed in you through his Holy Spirit, that you might continue to do his will while you're in the way. In Jesus' name, my brother, I pray for you. Amen. Amen.
I want to share something that Pastor Jordan was saying, and it was true, was a blessing to me. I thought about when he said he was called to the hospital to pray for this young lady. But I thought about my situation that I was in. And I know many people prayed for me 2012 as I went through pancreatic cancer. There was many people praying. Many people were praying. But I remember this little boy that doing service in Macedonia. He laid on me every Sunday. Hallelujah. He went to sleep every Sunday on me. And when Mr. Jordan was talking about it, I thought about this little boy. And when I started praising all, he would wake up and look up at me. And that was Deacon Fair's grandson. Deacon Fair's grandson. And then, like I said, it was many prayers went up. But as I heard Pastor Jordan talking about, the Lord sent him to the hospital. And Deacon Fair came in there and he prayed. And his grandson was a little boy. And he told his grandson to pray. And that's where my healing took place. That little boy prayed for me. And I got up sick bed. I'm here today because of prayer. I'm here today because of prayer.
Yes.
All of those that prayed for me. But it was something special when you was talking, Pastor Jordan. It was something special about that little boy. Thank you, Lord. I'm here today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
12 or 13 years later. It had put me in the grave and covered me up. But God brought me out. I'm here today.
Amen.
I thank God. How he has kept me, kept my mind. I thank you. That's all I got to say. I just praise God for the word tonight.
Amen.
I just want to say this. Haven't been with you all in a good little while, but I was prompted to join you tonight. And I joined at a good time because Pastor Jordan touched on a subject that's near and dear to my heart. It's about expectation. When we pray, if we have no expectation, why pray? It's really kind of like you're using your time unwisely when we don't have an expectation that God is going to answer. If it's in his word and he's promised and he said he is who he is, it requires that then we need to be stirred up in our own faith, to to walk out what God has said. And Pastor Jordan, we appreciate your word that you've given tonight. It's about us needing to, we were talking about that this morning at my house of worship, that is Sunday is kind of treated like a thing to do and you just check it off.
Mm-hmm.
But you may know you've received nothing from it, but you felt that you have done your reasonable service. So I agree wholeheartedly and appreciate you having the courage to challenge us on tonight. That courage needs to go beyond this phone for every called man and woman of God to, you know, to challenge each other. The scripture tells us to provoke one another to love and good works. And so I thank God for you. Thank God for his word that came forth through you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. And I'm going to say that the message reminded me when I was 9 years old, when Pastor Williams talked about how our parents and grandparents got us. It was during the revival. Pastor Sams from Jacksonville came to Macedonia, and he was preaching, and my grandma told me to get on the moaning bench. So, got on the mourning bench and I didn't move. And grandma came down there and she looked at me with that look. I got up and I got in that chair. But I joined the church. Years later, I gave my life to Christ.
Amen.
And Pastor Jordan, he brought it out that you can, you can just go to church, but you don't belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, I gave my life to Christ. Amen. Anyone else? I'm sorry, talking too much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Connor, for that testimony. And it's a powerful testimony because it's true for many, many of us, is that we went from the mourner's bench to shaking the preacher's hand and going into water, and there was no change that was made in our hearts nor our minds. We went down dry and came up wet, and I am so glad now that certainly the teaching of Romans 10, 9 and 10, the teaching of Acts 2 and 38, and certainly the teaching of John 15 being connected to the true vine is going forth on this line. I thank my sister also who came prior to Deacon Connor as she spoke about this whole idea of being able to stand and teach a message like this on tonight. As Pastor Jordan was sharing, we are breaking down the walls of religion, and we should be breaking down the walls of rituals as well as traditions. And we should be building a relationship with God, a vertical relationship, as well as a horizontal relationship with one another based upon 1 Corinthians 13, based upon what true love and real love is all about. I thank you, Pastor Jordan, for this message on tonight, because it shows us that He, Holy Spirit, is working in our millenniums. He's working in our smaller children. He's working in us that are mature. But the only way He works in us is that we have to be submitted, we have to be surrendered, and we certainly have to walk in obedience, which is what you shared on tonight. The question you posed to us, what are we praying for? And I've come to the point in my own life is that if I'm going to pray about it, I am Sister Jean, Elder Jean, I am expecting.
Amen.
If you're going to pray for rain, you need to carry your umbrella because I know
right.
it's going to rain.
Right.
I can't say it's going to rain tomorrow. I can't say it's going to rain in the next week. But if I'm praying for rain, I'm going to carry my umbrella. I'm going to carry my raincoat because I know God's going to send rain. And we have to pray for that expectation. I can't look at, as Pastor Joyce said, I can't look at what it looks like on the outside. I can't look at all the ventilators and hooked up to this machine and that machine. I got to pray in faith. I got to pray in faith. If I'm gonna pray Isaiah 53:4-5 that we are already healed, H-E-A-L-E-D, then guess what? I got to walk in it. And we cannot allow doubt in what they look like to stand in our way. So Pastor Joyce, I too thank you for this mighty message on tonight and how we as disciples of Christ, we got to get beyond this tradition, these rituals, as well as religion and be a relationship. And another thing, and I know I'm going to say something's going to upset a couple of people, but that's all right. Come back to me, call me later, is that we got to get beyond thinking that the only day you can have church, as we call it, is on Sunday. The only day we can have Bible studies on Wednesday. We can have it every single day. Every single day we can be with the Lord. We can have devotion. We can have our personal devotion, and we can have devotion with others. We got to get beyond this whole idea that the only place we can have church in quotation is going to that building with a steeple on it. You can have church. He said, where two or three are gathered in what? My name.
Yeah.
So we as disciples have to understand we live this every day, not just on certain days of the week, but every single day. We are to be the disciples and the ambassadors of Christ. And this is what this young man is calling for tonight. He said, stop this, get rid of these rituals, these traditions that don't align to the word of God, and begin to build relationships both horizontal as well as vertical. Thank you again, Pastor Jordan. Look to hear you again, young man. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Singleton. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. Good evening to each and everyone that's on the line tonight. Thank God for the man of God and the word of God. To the people of God, to all of us, to encourage and get us stirred up to be passionate, first of all, about the things of God. As he was ministering the word, I could not help but hear, amen, a little song that says, somebody pray for me, has me on their mind. Took our time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they pray. I'm so glad they pray for me. The preacher prayed for me. Had me on his mind.
Yeah.
Took our time and prayed for me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You know, there's somebody somewhere that are waiting on the people of God to rise up and to get to work. Amen. The Lord said to me years ago after a vision of a child in a hospital, and sometimes we sit around and we let doubt and fear creep in. We try to figure out what's going to happen if I go. What's going to happen if I do? And we can't allow those things to dictate to us, but we need to move as Abraham did when God spoke to him. And I didn't go at that time, was very young in the Lord, and all of the doubt and fear crept in, and I didn't go. But the Lord said to me sometime later, how many people are suffering because you won't do what I said do? And when we think about those things, we have a charge to keep and a God to serve. We have a people to serve, and we do need to be up and busy about our Father. And the one thing about it that God allow U-turns, And, you know, we just need to get busy. There's so much preaching. There's so much admonishing us to get up and be as the 12-year-old Christ child was, that it's time to be about the Father business, to realize it's not about age, gender, or any of those things, but it's about the will of God. And I thank God for the word of God tonight to, you know, continue to spur, encourage me. Sometime as we get older, we feel like we know there's no retirement, but we feel like we can, you know, kick back and take it easy. But I heard the word of the Lord says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. So it was an encouraging word to me. Think back when you had that great passion for the things of God, and we have a tendency to think it's like our earthly vocation. We can retire, but it's not so. But I thank God for that word, for the testimony. God is the same today as he was yesterday. And tomorrow he's going to be the same. Amen. People will declare. Amen. Have many commentaries, things on the word of God. And you read so many of them, and they will tell you that laying on of hands and healing and miracles and signs and wonders went out with the disciples and the apostles. But we are still the apostles. We are still the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't change. Yeah. It's us that changes. It's us that are not doing those things. It's us that are not going in the hedges and highways, compelling men and women to come. It's us. Do you not know Jesus had such a following because they saw something? He didn't just preach a sermon where people were yelling and shaking their heads, and but he showed, and after he had preached the word, and this is what he says to us in the scripture, and I'm done. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All of these wonderful works that we read about that the people done in what we call Acts of the Apostles, but we know they're Acts of the Holy Ghost. And so he's the same today as he was then, but we've got to get excited again. We've got to have that passion and that desire. When Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he left nine of his disciples down there on the ground, and this man came and asked and requested that they would cast the devil out. And but when Jesus came down and Jesus cast the devil out, and remember, before this time, Jesus had given them power to go out and cast out devils and heal the sick and, you know, make disciples of men. But at this time, their faith had waned. And they went to Jesus after he had healed the man and said to him, why could not we do it? He said, because of your faith, your little faith. We have to understand that our faith must grow. I just thank God for the word tonight, because it did. It stirred me up on the inside. And it's always more that we can do. We should never be satisfied with what happened yesterday. As long as God have us in this earth, there's still yet work to be done. But I thank God for that word tonight, for he is still yet working miracles and signs. And it was a sign that when, amen, the pastor went back after prayer, kind of like the fig tree, it was gone the next day. That those symptoms and those results, when he came back, had gone. God had done what he said he would do, if we would do what he say do. And it is a blessing, because God is ready when we are, and the shortage is not in God, it's in us. But I pray that this word will stir us, not just for today with excitement, but for tomorrow and the next week and the next week, that we can fulfill the call of God in our lives, that those people that are in the hospital, sick in the home, in nursing homes or whatever, when God sent us, that something will take place when we work and cooperate with God. We do our part for that. We have to cultivate the gifts. But I thank God for the word, man of God. Thank God for what you're doing. Thank God for your testimony. And thank God certainly for the word. I heard you say you had got instruction to make it short, but it was short, sweet, and to the point. And I hope that we will hide it in our hearts, that we will continue to do what God has called us to do until he called us home. God bless you. God continue to keep his hand upon you, guide you, direct you, and that you will speak to the masses even more. And God will give us that encouragement we need to complete the work of God that he has begun in us when we continue to cooperate with him. God bless you, bless your family, bless your ministry, bless everything that you set your hands to. And to each of you on the line, to Deacon Connor, to Dr. Singleton, to all of the men, Pastor Kuiper, to any other minister that may be on the line, I give honor where honor is due. To each of you that play a part in the ministry, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. May we continue and continue that we will have that passion, that we will get excited and be full of expectation, that God is able to fulfill those expectations when we continue in prayer and in the service of God. God bless each of you. Pray that each of you will have a marvelous rest of your week and that we will continue to know that we are called for the service and the worship of God, that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, and surely signs will follow. The sign had followed the prayer when he went back. That was a sign that followed. He saw a difference. He saw a change. And we need to even ask ourselves, what are we praying for? Do we believe, first of all, when we pray? The scripture says this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth. And if we know that he heareth, then we have the petition that we asked of him. Let us continue to pray and seek the face of God. God bless each of you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
I want to share one thing, Deacon Klein.
All right.
What was the word was preached by Pastor Joe, and what are we praying for? And I heard this morning at 5:15, but it was in a different way. Pastor Booker preached this morning at 5:15,
mm-hmm.
and he said, are you doing what God told you to do? Are we doing what God told us to do?
All right.
And that someone was being holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God is calling for holiness. This is what he's calling for. But those messages went together. What are you praying for? And here's the matter. Are you doing what God told you to do? And it was just a blessing come out of both of those messages. For me, it was a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister President. Thank you. Any other comments, please? Amen, amen, amen. Got no other comments? Today is October 6th, 2024. It is a Sunday evening. We have gone 1 week, a few days since we last met virtually, since Tuesday. So I am sure some good things have happened to us since Tuesday. Something we can praise the Lord for. Any praise reports?
I praise the Lord that we are in a new month, and this is the sixth day. I praise
mm-hmm.
God. I have not had to go to the hospital. I pretty much spent every day of September at the hospital. I'm praising God today that I'm at home.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm able to get
Thank
my
you.
Bed and go to sleep. I praise
Thank
God
you.
That the people I've been trying to take care of, they're doing good. I just thank God. I'm just blessed because I am at home. They're doing good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Happy for you, sunshine.
Amen.
So happy
Amen.
For you. Amen. Taking care of loved ones can be pretty rough. Ask me and I will tell you. Amen. Amen. Any other praise reports?
Yeah, I'd like to report that we prayed for Maria Lewis. She was having surgery, and her surgery went fine, and she's mm-hmm. at home recuperating.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Like that kind of stuff. Amen. Mm-hmm. Any other praise reports? We're praising for life, health, and strength, and the active use of my limbs, and being able to walk out to the mailbox and get the mail, come back, put the trash out. Tomorrow is recycle day. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone to be added to the prayer list?
I would like to add Shakita Maxwell and family to the prayer list. And I also would like to lift up voting registration. The last day is tomorrow, that we have a great turnout for voter registration and those to go vote. Thank you.
Amen. 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 You can check online to see if you are registered properly. Amen. Any other additions to the prayer list before we proceed? Amen. Since there are no others, Sister Brenda, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, we come today thanking you for this brethren, Pastor Jordan Williams.
Yes, yes.
I'm thanking you for the word, Lord. We come thanking you for that sweet hour of prayer that we can go to.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, asking your forgiveness for anything that I've done that's not pleasing to you. I come today, Lord, thanking you for the report of Maria Lewis recuperating. And thank you and ask that she will continue recuperating and healing, and we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We come thanking you for Sister Shakita Maxwell's voice being on this line today. We lift her up and her family. We lift her up right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we lift up the voter registration, Lord, that everyone that has registered, let it be on the records that they will be able to vote. And those that haven't, may tomorrow be a heavy turnout since that's the last day. We lift up all our hurricane victims, North Carolina,
yes,
Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, wherever they have been hit at, we lift them up to you, Lord, that you would make a way for housing, for electricity,
Jesus,
for clean water, for clean clothes, anything that they need, we ask you to provide. Food, Lord, whatever it is that they need, we're leaning on you for provision. So, Lord, we thank you. We lift up to all those that are bereaved during this time, that have lost loved ones in this hurricane. Oh, Lord, any that are hurt or sick, we lift them up to you. Lord, we come right now thanking you for this prayer line, this Bible study. We thank you for this night, for all those associated with this line today. Meet their needs, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, meet their needs. And for that, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Sister Brenda Lou Brett Williams. Thank you so much. Amen, amen. So before we say good night, I want to say thanks to our prayer warriors, Ruby Sunshine Dudley, Sister Brenda Lou Britt Williams, and our songstress for this evening. Also, I want to thank very much to Pastor Jordan Williams for being with us this evening. I know you're going to come back to see us. I know you're going to come back to see us again, but we thoroughly enjoyed the session on this evening, our session, our walk in the Word. Amen. So on the behalf of all our ministries that support this virtual call, we want to say good evening. I love y'all, and we will hear you on Tuesday.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, family. Love you all.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Grace and peace and love.
Peace and blessings.
Good night, Mama, Aurelia, Maddie.
Yeah.
I didn't hear but one answer. What them other two?
They must be off the line.
All right, baby. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay. You take care now.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
God.